Hello and welcome to episode 95 of Motherhood in Hollywood, a show that brings you the latest and greatest and most hilarious in parenting and entertainment. Woohoo! Today we are talking about how parents stay healthy. Are you healthy? Do you feel healthy? Is your partner healthy? We're going to tell you how we feel about that and in just a minute.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hello, and welcome to episode 95 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I've missed you. How was your week, you guys? I'm going to start off really quickly by saying thank you so much for listening. If you're a first-time listener of Motherhood in Hollywood, I'm so glad you're here. Please take a moment and subscribe to the show. Just even before you've even listened to it, just lay down your bets. Go all in and subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood. And if you are not yet following me on Instagram, that is the place to be, Motherhood in Hollywood there, as well as on Facebook and on Twitter at Heather Brooker or MIH Podcast. I have so much social media. It is exhausting, but I manage. Speaking of Twitter really quickly, I want to give a couple of mom mentions too. At Kieran Talks, at Ships Have Sailed, Marquise Trill, thank you guys so much for finding me over on Twitter and following me there. That's where I put my most inappropriate comments, maybe-ish. Maybe there's some inappropriate comments that happen on Instagram and Facebook too. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. I hope you're having a wonderful week. Today, I'm so excited because I had so much fun talking with my husband, Chris, on last week's episode, and honestly on every episode we do, that I'm kind of thinking of restructuring the show a little bit. I don't know, that sounds dramatic. Chris is here again with me.
Hi, everybody.
So, and I mentioned this to him, that I was like, I just really enjoy talking to you, and it's also a great excuse for us to have a set time every week where we get to sit down uninterrupted, ideally. And talk.
This is the only time we get to talk, ever.
And finish a sentence.
It's with microphones in our face.
So I think what I'm going to start doing, I will still have amazing interviews. Don't you worry, folks. There will still be fun and entertaining interviews in only the way that I can do them.
Mm-hmm.
As humbly as possible. But I'm also going to be bringing Chris Brooker in to the show a little bit, because it's just nice to reconnect.
Agreed.
Even if it is in front of thousands of people who listen to my podcast.
Literally dozens of people.
Literally twos of threes.
Of handfuls of people.
So glad you're here for the journey, Mom. No. My mom doesn't even listen.
Nope.
I wonder if your mom does.
I don't know.
Do you think she's figured it out?
It's a big commitment for her.
Well, I know she's found me on social media, but I don't know if she's figured out what the podcast is.
And that's the weirdest thing. A lot of people just don't know.
What a podcast is.
Yeah, when you started this, they didn't know how to, what? A podcast? How do I do that? Is it on the radio?
No, they still do that. I'm shocked and scandalized when people are like, so what is this podcast you do?
What station is it on?
Yeah, where can I listen? And I'm always like, okay.
What am I doing with my life?
I'm going on 100 episodes and some of my closest friends have never even listened to my podcast. Douchebags.
I never have, to be honest with you.
That's rude. You were forced to listen to the first, 90.
You made me.
I did. I need you. Now I don't quality control my show at all. Now, Chris, for the first year and a half, was, my quality control. I made sure he listened to every episode so I didn't have any editing errors or any flubs or anything. And now he's totally off the hook. I'm like, you don't have to listen now. It's fine.
I don't care about my flubs. Who cares?
That's so terrible.
Just let it fly.
That's so terrible. Anyway, so I had a lot of fun talking with you.
Me too.
And it's nice to... Also, you have just a very rich and warm and delightful voice.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
From your years of radio. And one of the things I thought it would be fun to talk about today is something we were talking about a lot lately.
Yeah.
Is our health, mm-hmm, and getting healthy. And I have. And, you know, for those of you listening, you know, I'm going to make some pretty big confessions here. And I am the most unhealthy I've ever been. Like, I started off last year doing my awesome 15 by 15 challenge. Yep. I was so motivated. I was like, I was going to lose 15 pounds by our 15th wedding anniversary last May. I did it. And I kept it off for like a week or two.
And then we had our anniversary.
And then we actually went on our anniversary trip to Napa and gorged. And then I came back and I just didn't feel like as accountable and I stopped working out. And then slowly all of these like health problems start cropping up and it's like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
You know, like stuff happens and then you start feeling sicker and sicker, less motivated, less. It's like a big catch 22.
What for you has happened, do you think? Because you have a pretty consistent schedule. My schedule is bananas, and I use that as an excuse to not exercise because I never mm-hmm. know from day to day what time I'm even going to have free. But for you, what is your biggest stumbling block when it comes to exercising?
It's activity, basically. It's lack of activity. I do have a pretty set schedule. I'm up at the same time every day. I work the same number of hours. I go to bed roughly around the same time every night. Mm-hmm. But I have a desk job. I sit at my desk, and it's hard to get motivated to move. So part of my process, what I need to do is just either get up earlier or find time throughout the day to, you know, go to the gym or go to the park for a hike or something like that. It's movement. I need movement.
I feel like you do a pretty good job. Like you have your Withings watch that you wear a lot, but I feel like you do a pretty good job of using that to keep track of your steps and your sleeps and, you know, and all of that stuff. Your fitness, it's basically a fitness tracker.
I love the sleep tracking on it. You know, yeah. I'm a big, I'm kind of like obsessed with sleep.
I know.
And which is
hilarious to me because I get no sleep. Ever.
I need 7 hours of sleep, and that's why I go to bed at like 10 every night.
Or
and I'm
nine.
Up by 7 or 9 sometimes. Yeah, mm-hmm. because that's awesome.
Is it?
When you go to bed at 9, it's amazing. You get such good sleep.
I think that I need to, it's hard for me to adopt that, like, because I would love to go to sleep at 9 or 10, but sometimes I'm at work until midnight.
Right,
and
right.
I can't go to sleep that early.
You have a variable schedule, and that's hard. So you just kind of have to adapt.
The thing is, though, and I remind myself of this. Oh, I hear a Channing coming. The thing is, and I try to remind myself of this, is that even though I have a varied schedule, like there are, you know, celebrities and there are head CEOs of companies and there are people who have a lot more on the line than I do that still manage to find time to be fit. But I feel like I am in a hole, like a health hole, and I can't climb out of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, a bit. Why do you feel like it's so insurmountable?
Because I just feel like I have no energy, and you need energy to be able to get up in the morning and go work out
mm-hmm.
or in the evening, you know. And I feel like because I don't work out, I have no energy. So I'm like, I'm treading water, or I'm like, you know, I can't climb out of this situation.
It's that big catch 22 thing.
It is.
You know, you don't have energy, so you don't work out. Therefore, you don't have energy, so you don't
right.
work out. Right.
And it's
right.
and I also don't sleep at night. We talk about sleep constantly here. Mm-hmm. I don't sleep at night because I'm not healthy. I weigh more. This is a big confession, you guys. I weigh more now than I've ever weighed in my entire life. And it is, I don't eat right. Like, I had some vegetables yesterday, but it was okra, and it was fried. Like,
it was delicious, don't get me wrong, but
like, what the hell is wrong with me? And then I'm like, why don't I have any energy?
Well, part of it is choices, I think. You know, I strive really hard to every day. You know, I'm a big breakfast eater.
I'm not, though. You're big on breakfast.
But years ago, I started getting up, and I just started making my breakfast. And it actually makes a big difference, because if I eat at, like, 7:30 or 8 in the morning or whatever, I'm usually pretty okay till noon, 1 o'clock. However, if you skip breakfast by noon, 1 o'clock, you're famished, mm-hmm. and you're more likely to make bad food choices.
Well, you know, our friend Mary has said repeatedly that the whole breakfast is the most important meal of the day is a lie. She doesn't believe that that's
She
true.
Is wrong.
She's wrong. She's going to yell
Just
at you.
Just wrong.
But there has been studies and research that show it's important to wake up to eat a healthy meal and get your metabolism going and all of that.
So what's her thought process there, that you should just skip breakfast?
Yeah.
Why?
I think because...
Is it calories? Like calorie thing?
I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm not entirely sure, but I think that she practices, or at least she did, the fasting, intermittent fasting. That's okay. What it is. Where she only eats, you know, between a certain hours of the day, like between noon and five or something. And then the rest of the day, you don't eat.
If you're on that kind of regimen, okay, I can see why you don't eat breakfast. Right. I've read about intermittent fasting, and it has its benefits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be fair, Mary is incredibly fit.
Yeah.
She's really in shape, and she exercises. Also works out and she a works lot. Out a lot. Yeah. So she's pretty much anti-us.
Why is she friends with us? We're all gelatinous. Like for your birthday, we literally were like, let's go to the buffet. And I'm sure they were like, oh God, these fatties. No.
these doughy people.
These doughy friends of ours. No, I think it's breakfast is a hard one for me because I don't eat breakfast.
Yeah.
I just don't. I never have my whole life. My mom used to, I don't even remember breakfast being a topic of discussion ever.
It really wasn't in my house either. It was a post-college thing that I really started getting into making my breakfast. I like making eggs, you know. I like making eggs and frying up bacon and making toast.
All the healthy breakfast options.
Well, it's protein.
I will eat yogurt every now and then, but only it has to be a certain kind of yogurt. And it has to be...
The kind with chocolate chips in it?
Yes. It has to be... I just spit all over the microphone. Gross. No, it has to be a certain kind of yogurt. Like, I like Greek vanilla yogurt, and yep. I want it loaded with granola, and that's it.
Okay.
So I basically just want a little bit of yogurt with my granola.
But that's a big, like, protein bomb in the morning, and that's really good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not the worst thing you could probably eat for breakfast, but the problem is I just would rather get up and just have a coffee. Like, everybody who's on Instagram, I swear, there's every 5 seconds someone's Instagramming their morning coffee. Like, yay, can't wait for coffee. It's coffee kind of day. It's morning. It's coffee time.
Who says it's a coffee kind of day? That's dumb.
Some of the Instagram... Listen.
Unfollow them immediately if they're saying it's a coffee kind of day.
If there's anything I've learned about Instagram, it is that people like to post pictures of their coffee
Guilty.
And their kids.
Guilty.
Yeah. So, and I do too. I mean, I when I get a sweet looking cup of coffee, I'm going to share that. It's like no one has ever seen this kind of coffee before, and I'm spreading the word. But anyway, so breakfast is a big challenge for me. And I think that because I don't eat breakfast, and we've talked about this too, because I don't eat breakfast really, or maybe I'll have a small breakfast, then I'll be going about my day and I'll be running errands and I'll be doing podcast stuff and Mother in Hollywood stuff. And then before I know it, it's 1 or 2 o'clock. And I haven't eaten lunch. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to eat something for lunch. But then I'm starving and I just want something. I need something fast. So it's always a burger.
Right.
With fries and Coke. Just like the worst
it's
garbage.
It's easy and convenient.
Yeah,
right.
And it's easy. It's convenient. Or like a taco meal or something. And then I gorge myself. And then by 3, I am sick and tired and bloated. And I have no energy. And I'm like, I need to take a nap.
The one thing you've been doing lately that is really good is you've been... eliminating soda.
Trying to,
but like at dinner the other night, you had water instead of soda when we went out to dinner.
Right.
So you're making some steps there.
Soda is a big, it always has been. For those who followed my 15 by 15, you'll know that that was a huge issue for me. I love pop. I might be addicted to pop and coffee. It's a wonder my teeth are not just like black. I drink my coffee with cream, so maybe that's why.
Pour soda in my coffee.
Ooh. Mm. I think somebody's probably invented that.
Probably.
But honestly, like I have our city mapped out in terms of where I can go to get coffee, depending on where I'm going to be running my errands during the day.
There's nothing wrong with coffee.
There's nothing wrong with coffee, but I sometimes use it as a meal.
Like oh, I see.
Like, I'll just have, like, I'm addicted to Phil's. There's no lie about that.
Yep.
I'm addicted to Phil's coffee. I will go there and I will just have Phil's. And then because of, I guess, the caffeine, because caffeine is an appetite suppressant.
It is.
Then I won't want to eat the rest of the day. And then, or at least for several hours. And then, like I said, by 1 or 2, I'm like, oh my God, I'm starving. And I just eat garbage. And then I will crash in the afternoon.
Yep.
And so almost always by like 4 or 5 in the evening, I'm a mess. And that's when you come home. We try to hustle around for dinner. We put Channing to bed. That is when I'm at my lowest energy of the day right there. And I don't know if I'm alone in that. I don't know if there's other moms. I mean, maybe that's pretty typical for moms who, you know, are taking care of their kids all day or running errands or whatever. But then what usually happens is I either have to go to work then.
Yep.
Sometimes I work in the evenings. Or my melatonin level drops and I get a huge burst of energy.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Well, it's also post-dinner.
Right.
So you have that food giving you energy. And so
right.
Now you feel more motivated to write or work or whatever.
But that always happens like around 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you're very much a night person.
Yeah. So then I'm up till 1 or 2 in the morning and then I can't wake up the next morning and the cycle starts again. So this is what I mean by I feel like I'm in a hole or like maybe I'm like on a, not a treadmill. What is the hamster's? Hamster wheel. I feel like that.
It's like a treadmill.
But without the running.
With a shuffling along on the hamster wheel.
Casually
strolling.
Strolling on the hamster wheel. But that's what I feel like. And so I just feel like an overall sense of unhealthiness and I don't know how to break this cycle. And some people will go, oh, well, just, you know, eat these grains or try Beachbody or, you know, whatever. And my mom the other day was like, you need more fiber. And I was like,
such an old lady thing to say.
It's such an old lady thing to say. And I'm like, thanks, mom.
I think it's, you know, I think
I guarantee you, by the way, she's going to mail me a box of fiber. You watch. Why do you say, ugh?
I'm just imagining a box full of wheat or something.
But remember, this happened once before
I
was like, Mom, I don't feel healthy. And then she mailed me a box of supplements and like fiber, like Metamucil, to put in my food.
Well, she's looking out for you.
Okay. Hey, guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode with Chris where we're talking about getting healthy as parents. I want to take a moment to tell you about my new sponsor. Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Nudu. That's N-U-D-U. It is a luxury skincare line. And let me tell you, there are no toxic chemicals in any Nudu products. All of their luxurious formulas care for your skin long term to make you feel and look your very best. So, what is it about Nudu that's so different? Well, they use premium botanical actives with proven skin benefits, antioxidants for powerful anti-aging defense and repair, and skin-friendly compounds for tone, softness, and elasticity. Now, what mama doesn't need a little extra elasticity, right? Go right now to Nudu.com to find out more about their products and how Nudu can help create a new you.
I think, you know, I think with, you know, a lot of the issues that you're having, I think it's just a matter of, and it's not just a matter of, because I know it's not easy to change habits and stuff like that, is just like making one change in one aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Like, get up in the morning and have breakfast, no matter what. Like, get up by 8, have breakfast. And kind of start that process and see how that changes. See if that gives you more energy. I mean, I don't know. Different strokes for different folks, you know, whatever.
No, I think so. I mean, like my friend Christian, who you know too, Christian, he earlier this year, he made a New Year's resolution to stop drinking soda, like altogether.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he then, after a couple months, noticed he started feeling better. And then he started a workout program. And now he's lost like 25 pounds.
Has he really? Wow.
Yeah, he looks great. And he feels better. He has so much more energy and he's like, you know, taking on new projects now. And I'm like, Christian, that's amazing. You know, meanwhile, I'm literally pants that fit me 6 months ago don't fit me anymore. So I'm clearly gaining so much weight. And I thought at first it was because I turned 40 and my metabolism was slowing down.
Like
something happened and a switch went off. And I'm like, well, there it goes. You know, now I'm just going to be that fat middle-aged woman. But then I look at other women and they're fit, you know, they look good. So it's obviously something I'm not doing right.
Well, you know, I was mentioning this too, even with me, I'm not liking how, you know, my shirts fit in the afternoon when I'm at work. You know, I wear work shirts every day, button downs and stuff like that. I don't like how they fit. I don't like how I feel sitting around. I work with a bunch of millennials and so they're all thin.
Hip and skinny
and
jeans.
Skinny jeans. And
eating kale for lunch and
seriously,
lemon.
It's ridiculous. Drinking lemon water and nonsense like that. It's dumb.
We may have just identified our problem. We need to be more like the millennials and eat more kale.
But I think, for both of us, dietary changes are definitely in effect. Mm-hmm. You know, more vegetables, less bread, you know.
Well, but I mean, think about how we were both raised. Like, I don't know. I think
steak and potatoes, man.
Yeah, steak and potatoes and a lot of fried stuff. I mean, my God, my grandma, my great grandma used to keep a vat of grease in a jar. It was an old Folgers coffee can jar.
And she would eat it with a spoon.
And she would eat it with a spoon. It was bread. No, and it was an old jar of bacon grease or regular grease or whatever that she would just reuse.
Yep.
She would fry it up. Once it was done, she'd pour it back in the pan, let it congeal. The next day, scoop it out, put it back. I mean,
it's a very Depression era country thing, right?
But that's how that's the kind of foods I was raised on. Fried potatoes and onions, chicken fried steak.
I bet you that stuff tasted good.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah.
Now I want it.
Grease.
But then I'm like, but see, I wasn't overweight. Growing up, or
you're also
even
active,
in college,
though. You're also more active.
I was super active.
Yeah,
yeah, I was super active,
and that's key too. We both need to be more active.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a combination of we're in our 40s now. We are parents. Mm-hmm. We don't work out regularly, you know,
and it's
sort of like a cycle of, you know, unhealthiness, and I don't know how we can break that because you have a more regular schedule, you do have your 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
you could go to the gym in the morning. You could go to the gym after work. You know, you could go to the gym on your lunch break even.
I could. Yeah.
You know, I know you do walks a lot in the afternoon.
I do walks throughout the day. I get up at least once every hour and a half and I'll take a 20-minute walk around the lot. That's just to get the blood going, though, because you can't sit for 8 hours a day in front of a computer and feel good.
Sometimes I do. I have, when I'm at work, sometimes I have to set an alarm to remind me to get up and move around. Otherwise, 6 hours will go by and I'll be like, I haven't moved out of my chair. I'm going to get a blood clot and like pass out or something.
They say sitting is the new smoking.
Oh, it's so
know,
bad for you.
People with desktop jobs, you know, in a 9 to 5 cubicle life like myself, mm-hmm. That sedentary lifestyle, that you know, sitting for 8 hours a day is terrible for you. Just terrible. I see more people at work now that have actual stand-up desks.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. They're starting to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want to stand. I read somewhere that it's good to get like one of those exercise balls.
Oh, yeah.
And sit on those because then you're working your muscles.
It focuses the core on balance.
And I was like, well, maybe I could do that.
Yeah, but the chair is so comfortable.
The chair is really comfortable.
I mean, I can lean back in it.
I lower my chair all the way down to the lowest setting and then I lean it all the way back and that's how I sit.
And then you put your feet up on the desk.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I put my feet up under the desk. There's probably some serious shoe marks.
I think we're uncovering some of the problems in the conversation.
I just keep envisioning that episode of Family Guy where Peter Griffin turns into just a big gelatinous blob.
Yeah.
Or, no, the movie Wall-E.
Wall-E.
The movie Wall-E. Yep. Like, we've talked about this before where we're like, oh, my God.
This is where we're headed.
Yep. Because how many times have you been walking to a restaurant or something and everyone's looking down at their phone, no one's talking? I mean, I see it all the time because I go to events and stuff.
All the time.
And people are always on their phones. But then to me, I'm like, I add my unhealthiness on top of it and the fact that I sit at work all the time in front of a screen.
Yeah.
You know, and I just sort of feel myself becoming this gelatinous blob.
It's so important to move. You know, even like for me, my walks I take around a lot, it's a 20-minute walk around the block. It doesn't do much, but at least gets the blood going a little bit.
Right.
It gets my steps. I can count my steps, you know.
My friend Stephanie and I are trying to get better about going on walks at work.
Great.
The problem is just working in news. It's such a demanding schedule. We have deadlines. You can't just...
Get up and walk.
I mean, there's only certain times when you can do that during your shift because you have... deadlines and you have reporters that need you and you know
and
breaking news and
news
all
can break any minute
right so we try to get out whenever we can and I'm trying to get better about that, especially now that it's warming up. And I mean, not that it's ever really cold in LA to go outside. It's not like you can use the excuse of the weather like, oh, it's a frigid 60 today.
That's why everyone out here is so thin and fit, because you can always go out and run.
You
can always go out for a walk. You can always go to the gym because the weather is beautiful.
I think also too, I've lost any sort of drive or interest for working out.
Working out's terrible.
I don't have an interest in doing that. Like, I don't want to go to the gym and walk on the treadmill for half an hour. That sounds terrible.
Well, you discovered this during your 15 by 15 is like, I want to find something that's fun to do. And right. you did a bunch of fun exercises.
There was
cool exercises.
There was one exercise class in particular. It was the 5-6-7 sweat. If you guys saw that, I wrote about that and posted about that on my website. 5-6-7 sweat is Broadway style dance aerobics. And you learn like a dance routine to a Broadway show tune.
Yep.
And I was like, what? This is amazing. The problem is that it's only offered, well, at the time it was offered twice a week, but it's like 30 minutes away from my house and it was in the evenings.
Yeah.
Now it's only offered, I think, twice a week, but it's in Hollywood, which is not too far. But when it's at 6 o'clock at night, that's a 30, 40 minute drive into Hollywood from where we are.
Yeah.
So, I was like, oh, I would love to do this, but fuck, why does it have to be so far away? Like, why can't you do it in the middle of the day? Why can't you accommodate my schedule? But I loved that one. And actually, there was quite a few that I really enjoyed, but it's just a matter of finding the right time to do that.
And for me, it's hiking. I like
it. Yeah, you like hiking.
I like hiking quite a bit. I love to go to the Griffith Park, put my headphones on, and just hike for an hour or two.
That is so LA of you.
I love it. It's great. It's so fun and relaxing. And I've occasionally gotten up early in the morning to do it. It doesn't last. I'll do it a couple days and then it'll kind of fade away. But, you know, it's just developing those habits and trying to develop those habits. It's the first step is always the hardest.
When we first moved here, I bought you, like for Christmas or something, one of those hiking club memberships.
Sierra Club.
Yeah, the Sierra Club membership. Yep. Because I was like, oh, Chris is really enjoying this hiking. Like, maybe he'll get into this. And you never used it once, you turkey.
I didn't.
You did not just wasted my money.
I like hiking, but I'm also fiercely antisocial. So the idea of being in a club and hiking, it's just like too yin and yang. I don't really like it.
You know, one thing I did love that I loved recently that I was doing, it's not really a workout, but I just forgot the name of it. It's that early morning thing that I did where I got up at 5 a.m. and I went to the dance club to dance.
Oh, the
Breaker.
The rave, the little early morning rave?
Oh, okay. The Daybreaker. Yeah, it's a morning rave, basically.
Yeah.
So the Daybreaker event was really fun because you go and like it's a bunch of, I don't think they're even necessarily millennials. I think it's the one like after the millennials. The most recent generation.
Oh, okay.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
But because it's like 20 to...
No, those are millennials.
28-year-olds.
28-year-olds are millennials. Yeah.
Well, are they? Are we still in the millennial?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, then fucking millennials. Anyway, so they were out there. They go and they go to the club and they dance. Dance, dance, dance.
For you, I think if you found a like something dance related,
yes.
I think it would take off for you.
Yes. But it's amazing to me in this town that there are not more things like that to do. At least there's none by my house. I'm not going to drive an hour to Brentwood to dance because there's a great dance program there called Plyo Jam, and it's so much fun.
I remember you did that. Right.
I did love that one. It's all plyometrics and jumping and dancing and like so much fun, but it's an hour away.
Yeah.
And you have to pay like $40 for a class, and I'm like, wait a minute. I already pay $60 a month for my gym that I never go to. Like, I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive an hour away to pay $40 for a dance class. And that's not a dig on Plyo Jam because they are awesome. But I just, for me, I'm like, I don't have that kind of time.
Right. Well, and that's what it comes down to is finding the time.
I would love it if there was a class, like some kind of dance class, if my gym offered some kind of dance class. But everything at 24 Hour Fitness is like body pump and pump this and pump you up.
Well, they've
up.
Got like Zumba and stuff like
Ugh.
That.
What am I, a 70-year-old Mexican lady? I'm not doing Zumba.
Hey, it's a big thing. People love it.
I know it's a big thing, but I'm not doing Zumba.
Okay.
Oh, man, that's really terrible. People are going to tweet at me and be like, why do you hate Zumba?
Why do you hate Zumba?
There's just something weird about, I don't know. It feels cheesy.
Okay, that's
it. Feels
it.
Cheesy.
That's it.
It's that, and you're like, hey, hey.
Oh man, I wish this was video right now.
I just did a little Zumba demonstration. Ooh, sorry.
Is that what that was?
That was what that was.
Okay.
Anyway, not a fan of Zumba at all.
All right.
I think I just need to I know I'm making a lot of excuses. Why not like this? And this is too far away.
It's 20 minutes away.
But that's a long time. That's like a 2-hour commitment. Driving 20 minutes to class, do your class for an hour.
And like I said, it's all about finding time, I guess. And that's something I struggle with too, constantly.
Well, it's about finding time and money. Because in LA, these classes are not free. They're expensive. I really loved, I did the Paloxing.
Yep.
I love Paloxing.
Yep.
It was a perfect blend of Pilates, boxing, and dance, and like a huge aerobic workout with like a little bit of weights involved and resistance. It was great. But it's in Burbank, and it's like $30 a class. So, I mean, I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know how other
The millions of dollars that MAH podcasts.
Through Motherhood in Hollywood. I don't know how other moms are doing it, other dads are doing it. There obviously people do.
Yeah.
Because they find the time to work out. And I think I just need to get off my butt and just make some major health and lifestyle changes because I feel super unhealthy and unmotivated. And I think
I'm there with you.
Maybe if we do it together.
Ugh.
Oh, how dare you. That's so rude. Maybe if we do it together, we'll have an easier time of it.
I'll find a Zumba class for us.
Oh, stop it. I would love to see you do Zumba.
I would do it if you would do it.
I will take you up on that.
I will do it if you do it.
You will not do Zumba.
I will totally do Zumba.
All right.
Find a class.
All right. So we're going to challenge each other then. Maybe?
Yeah. All right. I'm down with that. I'm down with the challenge.
Let's just start by making a small, like, no pop, like for me.
Okay.
And get moving. Like, those will be a couple of things that I'll...
You know, I've been drinking a lot of pop lately, too. I work, you know, in an office, and they have a well-stocked snack drawer that I dig into every day. And they also have free sodas. And I'm like...
Where do you work? Like, Magical Heaven Place? That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I work at a local movie studio. They provide free soda.
I know you do. Listen, we need to tell everybody our business. We already talked about being fatties. All right, everybody. So I'm going to wrap up this interview right now because I have to go to, speaking of being busy all the time, I have to go to an event today.
Wait, have we just challenged each other or something, though?
I
want to be sure.
I mean, sort of. I sort of half-ass committed to challenging myself not to drink pop so much.
Okay, no more pop.
And to move.
For me, I'm going to be no more... snacks, no more like drive-through. No more drive-throughs for me.
You've tried the no more drive-through before and you can't.
I'm gonna do it for 30 days.
30 days?
No drive-throughs for the next month.
All right. I think honestly that might benefit me too because you go to drive-through and get me stuff all the time.
So right.
You're my enabler.
But, you know, to be fair, I don't consider like Jack in the Box a drive-through.
It is a drive-through. It is 100% a drive-through.
It's more of a casual dining. Through my car window.
You are so
no drive-thrus for a month. No sodas for a month.
Fine. No drive-thrus for a month. And for me, no sodas for a month. All right, everybody. Hold us accountable. Tweet at me and make sure that we are sticking with our plan, our diet. I think Channing's pooping. Do you need some help? All right, I think she's pooping. All right, I'm going to go. Have a great week, everybody. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.